chapter 26. I'm told it doesn't have 28, it has 24. So we're going to read 26 verses 1. Let's see. Let me just look here. Luke 26, 1. There's what?
Your Bible has two more points.
Yeah, I got the abridged version. All right. Yes, chapter 1 of Luke. Tom, if you'll come up and you'll read chapter 1.
One through 38.
Okay. That's it. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 38.
From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 1 through 38. Thus saith the Lord, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seems fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And while the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zacharias said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This morning we're going to look at a passage that prophesied the same thing that Luke wrote to in his in the first chapter of Luke, Isaiah 9:6. And if you take notes, I've entitled it "The Missing Link." The missing link might sound familiar to you because several years ago we looked at this verse and that title. And the Lord put it back on my heart today, for today. And it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Before we look at our text, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds and hearts. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving for all the blessings that we know came from Jesus Christ. And as we look at the time before he was born and the angels speaking to Elizabeth and to Mary, we pray you would speak to us in our hearts as we look at this verse. We pray, God, as we open this text up, that you would open our minds and our hearts to the truth and let us take that truth home. Let us use that truth in our life. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is the truth. So as we study it, we ask you now to bless us, and that if there's one listening that doesn't know Christ as Savior, pray that today they might come to know him as you call them to him. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace, and thank you for calling us. And most of all, thank you for sending our Lord Jesus, the Christ child, to be born, that we might be here this morning worshiping and praising you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Now, I said it was title was "The Missing Link." Now, that may sound strange for an Advent message, but in fact, the title perfectly fits in with the birth of Christ, perfectly. The world uses the term "missing link" a little differently. When they do, they're talking about the origins of man. They're looking for a link, some link that ties man to sponges or or apes or something else. That's what they're looking for. The thing about that is, I hate to tell scientists, but I found the missing link science is looking for 38 years or 28 years ago. I found it. On February 23rd, 1997, I found it in Genesis 1:26. Turn there with me. Genesis 1:26. This is the missing link. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." There's no missing link in man's lineage. We were created in God's image. Period. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." There's no missing link. You didn't come from an ape, a sponge. You didn't come from DNA on a comet. God Almighty made man. There is no missing link to our lineage. I went to a family reunion not too long ago, and I have a family member there who gets into the genealogy thing. And they were telling me about our genealogy, and apparently some of my ancestors go back to the Mayflower. And he was a pastor, believe it or not, a bishop. And hard to believe. And I said to him, I says, "Well," I said, I can go back farther than that." He said, "How far?" I said, "I can go back to the beginning, Adam and Eve. That's my lineage. And that's all I care about. Because anything else other than that is just hyperbole. It's nothing." The missing link, man, is you that the world is looking for or searching for, it's a ruse. It's a ruse the world used to deny God, that God is the creator. You see, if they don't come up with that, then they have to believe that God is the creator. So they come up with all these far-fetched things. As a matter of fact, I can prove that. The greatest scientist who ever lived, I'm talking about the scientist who laid all the foundations for all the science you have today, including Isaac Newton, Johannes Kepler, Louis Pasteur, Max Planck, the guy that came up with the quantum mechanics. All of them believed in God. All of their science, they saw all of their scientific work as a revelation of God's creation. That's the way they saw it. They were the ones that set everything up. And all science today is based on their theories. And they knew God. They all believed that the natural laws in the universe were created by God. And how else could they be created? Isaac Newton was quoted as saying, "A heavenly master governs all the world as sovereign of the universe." He knew the truth, and the truth set him free. So things like the Big Bang, the missing link, they're just another way the world uses, a hostile world uses, to discredit the sovereign God. However, that being said, I have to tell you, there really is a missing link in man. There is. It's not about man's origin. It's about the missing link between man and God. That's the only missing link in this universe, is the link between man and God. Here's what happened in Genesis 1 and 2. There was no missing link. Everything was good. Genesis 1 and 2, God said everything was good. There was no death. There was peace. There was joy. Why? Because God and man walked together and they fellowshipped it every afternoon. They got together and went for a walk. At that point, man was filled with peace and harmony. It was the only time in the whole history of mankind that he was at peace, Genesis 1 and 2. But there came a day in Genesis 3 when man betrayed God, and that one sin separated him from the holy God. One sin. And when that happened, the chain of love that bound God and man was snapped. And that was when Adam decided to disobey God. There was a missing link then. And in Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, turn there with me. Genesis 3, 23 and 24. It's interesting that when you hear something, a verse, it's different than when you read it. When you read it, it seems to have more, more impact. In Genesis 3, 23, 24, the Lord God, it says that the Lord God sent him, Adam, out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Then he said he drove out the man. And the moment that God separated from Adam, that created a huge spiritual hole in Adam's life. And that hole is the real and the only missing link that fills every lost soul's heart. That fills every lost soul's, each and every one of you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you only know him because God called you and linked you back up to him. But a dead world doesn't have that. So it's fair to say, in my view, man's quest to find the missing link is just a ploy to reconnect us to something other than our Creator. The true missing link is the link that's missing between man and God, the unsaved man. Paul explained that in Romans 1:21. He said, because although they knew God, they did not worship him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Isn't that a perfect example of the lost world trying to fill their life with something, anything other than God? That means the missing link isn't about our link to animals, it's about our link to God. That's the missing link. God created man. Listen, he created man to be the object of his love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That means that every single one of God's children were on his mind in eternity past. He knew you, Donna. He knew you in eternity past. He knew everything about you. He knew everything about you, Newt and Brian. He knew everything. And he loved us. We're not worthy of it, are we? Is there anything that you can think of that would cause God to think favorably about any of us? No. But he loved us with an eternal love. And in addition to that, making us the object of his love, he created us to be his inheritance, his inheritance. That's what you are, Jerry. You're an inheritance to God. That's an incredible thought when you think about it. He has an eternal love for us. He creates everything in 5 days. And on the sixth day, he creates the topping of creation, man, because it's the object of his love. And he wants man to be his inheritance. He wants man, he wants to love man, and he wants man to love him. That's really what the Bible is about. That's what that cross is about. That's what the manger's about. It's about God's unspeakable love for each and every one of his people. Deuteronomy 32:9 says, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the place of his inheritance. And because of God's great love for man, after Adam fell from grace, what did God do? He promised to send the missing link to redeem man from his sin. We're in Genesis. Go to Genesis 3:15. That promise is seen in Genesis 3:15. That's when God was judging the serpent. He said, I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That's a promise of a champion. He's saying, in scripture when it says that I'll put a hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, meaning the seed of the devil are the lost and the seed of the woman would be the saved. That's what he's saying. And he says, he shall bruise your head. That means that he will kill you. He will defeat you. And when it says, you shall bruise his heel, it means that you'll crucify him. That's what we saw. He was crucified. He wasn't dead. He resurrected 3 days later. That was the defeat of Satan. And that was the missing link. And that missing link was promised at the very moment that he sentenced the devil. And by the way, you know who was doing the sentencing in Genesis 3:15? Jesus Christ. He's the creator, and he's the one who sentenced Satan. And the promise is, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'll have the victory for all my people. And our text also carries the promise that God will send a man, will send man, the missing link. For us, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And after Isaiah wrote that, 700, I think it was 600 or 700 years after Isaiah spoke those words, God's promise was fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Christ child. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14. Here, the apostle writes, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Zach, that's the missing link. That's the missing link you had 30 years ago when he called you out of the darkness and into his light. You see, Jesus Christ is the missing link that reconnects us to our spiritual origins. It's not about our animal origins. It's about our spiritual origins. I got a proof verse for that. Ephesians 2, 18 and 19. Paul writes, for through him, speaking of Jesus, through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. That's the missing link. That's what put us back into God's family. That manger, Jesus Christ. And it's important when we look at our text to note two things. I want you to note two things about our text. You're going to see both the humanity of Jesus and the divinity of Christ. In a short sentence, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Look at the first section of it. The first section reveals Christ's humanity. For unto us a child is born. The key words in that is a child is born. Is there anything more human than being born? It shows you that he was born as a human being. And because he was born to Mary, he is blood related to all mankind. He's part of mankind because he was born from Mary. Why is that important? It's vitally important because under the Levitical law, and you have to remember when Christ came into the world, he came in when he was under the law. It was under the law, the Levitical law. And the Levitical law said Jesus had to be related to man to have a legal right to redeem him, to redeem his elect people. He had to be related to us. And so the humanity of it is when Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born. There's the humanity of Christ right there. And I want to tell you, it isn't just that he was born in the flesh, he was human. The child wasn't just human in the flesh, he also had a human nature. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to read verses 17 and 18. Hebrews chapter 2, 17 and 18. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, just like you and me, Clark, that he might be merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Here it comes, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who were tempted. Jesus Christ could only save you, angel, if he was related to you under Levitical law, and he met all those requirements. He was human in every respect. How do we know that's true? Well, he was blood relative to Mary. He was born just like you and I were born. Doesn't the Bible talk about Jesus being hungry? Doesn't it talk about him being thirsty? Doesn't it talk about him being angry and joyful, tempted and weak? Doesn't the Bible, isn't all of those things human traits? And when his ministry was over, when his ministry was over, like every human being, like you and I will at some point, he died. Of course, he resurrected, but he died. That's the humanity of Christ. He had to be human. And all that makes it clear that the Christ child was a human being in every single respect. That's the first part. The second part of our text declares, unto us a son is given. Now here we see the divinity in the child Jesus. Again, under a Levitical law, in addition to being a blood relative, the Redeemer must have the ability to pay his kin's debt. You had to have the ability, the power to pay the kin's debt. The Christ child had that ability to pay his people's debt because God the Father sent him to do just that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you get that? For God so loved the world, his creation, that he sent his only begotten Son. Who was that? The second member of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. He came as a child. He became incarnate. Here in Philippians 2:5-8, Paul spells that out so perfectly. Here's what he writes. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, previous to his incarnation, he was in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. He could pay the debt. He paid your sin debt, Lou and Mary. He paid it in full. And he goes on to say, but made himself of no reputation, a bondservant, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Again, that human factor. And being found in appearance as a man, here it comes, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Christ child had the power to pay the sin debt of all his people. All generations, all sins, past, present, and future. And as the God-man, he had the right. He had the right and divine power to redeem all of us from our bondage of sin. And isn't that what he did? Each and every one of you sitting here that are living a Christian life and are born again in Christ are proof of everything I just said. And you know why? Because if it wasn't true, you wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't true, this place would be filled with people who just want to have their ears tickled. But the truth of the matter is, he is the missing link, and he did link up every single one of you that know him as your Savior. He linked you up to him so that you would once again be the family member that Adam and Eve was in Genesis 1 and 2. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is about. It's about being linked up to God again. It's about knowing the love of God, feeling the love of God, living in the love of God, and reflecting the love of God to a dead world. If you need a purpose in life, there's one right there. Live your life that way. The Christ child is the missing link to all mankind, from men from every nation, the Great Commission says. Proof verse, John 1:29. John the Baptist says when he saw Jesus walking, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And at the Last Supper, the missing link, Jesus Christ would tell his disciples, "For this is my blood in the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Henry and Julianne, all of your sins, every single sin you ever had or ever will have, is paid for in full. Downstairs, we have the Ten Commandments around the cross. And on top of it, it says paid in full. And that means that all who come to that cross, all their sins are paid in full. And the missing link, Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, links you back up to the Godhead. Now think about that. And if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not linked up. You're still looking for the missing link. You're still trying to put things in your life to please you, and you can't be pleased. You're good as long as everything is good. But when it's not good, you're not good. That's not how God rolls. He doesn't do that at all. He makes all of his children understand that you're going to face adversity, but I'm going to face it with you. Right now, if you don't know Christ, you're facing adversity by yourself because you're not linked up to God, because you don't have the blood that forgave your sins. So you're still guilty of them, and you're living in that guilt every single day. Every single day. And you don't have to. None of us that know Christ had. We were the same way. We didn't have to do it either. There came a point in our life when we realized that I'm not satisfied with anything. I don't care what it is. I never have enough. I want more all the time. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to face adversity. I don't want to do anything except have fun and eat good. That's all I want. And when a person has just that, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that without Christ, the wrath of God is on. John 3:36b says, "And those who do not believe, and for those that do not believe, the wrath of God abides on them." And that word abides, if you look it up in the original language, it means lives in. You're living in God's wrath. That's why you can't be satisfied. That's why nothing makes you happy. That's why you're up, down, up, down, up, down, all those, because there's nothing in your life except you. Doesn't have to be. The missing link is, I'm revealing, whether you're here or online, I'm revealing the missing link. It's Jesus Christ, the Christ child. That's what Christmas's celebration is all about. And all you have to do, the Bible says, is realize that you're a sinner. Romans 3:11 says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." You have to realize that that means you. And I don't care how good you think you are. Your righteousness, according to God's truth, is like filthy rags to him. You need the blood of Christ. You need to come to know him as your Savior. You need to ask him to forgive your sins with a contrite heart and mean it. That's all you have to do, the Bible says. And if you do, Romans 10:13 says, "All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." That's how Angel got saved. That's how Brian got saved. That's how every single one of us gets saved. We realize we're a sinner. We see ourselves in relation to God and our sin in relation to God. It convicts us where we feel guilty because of what we did. And in that moment of guilt, the link between you and God is joined back together because the blood welds it together by forgiving all your sins. That's all it takes. So wherever you are, that's you, and you haven't accepted the missing link that I'm telling you about, or not accepted, received the missing link. All you have to do is do that. And if you don't, then enjoy your life. Celebrate Christmas any way you like. The bottom line is that there will come a point when you'll leave this world. And when you do, the Bible makes it abundantly clear. All those whose names were not written in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever, and there is no rest day or night. That'll be your eternity. But if you change and you go to that missing link, confess your sins, ask for forgiveness, he'll link you into his family. And in doing that, all your sins will be forgiven. And the beauty about it is that it is just not eternity. Your life here will be transformed in ways you can't imagine. And then when you leave here, it just gets better. If that's what you want, you call or see me, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to be linked back up to God and to be a member of his family. At the end of his human life, the missing link would utter three words that summed up his humanity and his divinity both. Again, he said, "It is finished." His death proved that he was human, that he was blood related to man, and his ministry that showed the divine miracles of raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, healing lepers, proved that he was God incarnate. Yes, the Christ child is the missing link that reconnects man to God. We celebrate the Christ child not so much because he came, but because he wanted to come and he wanted to redeem you and you and you and you and me. He wanted to redeem us. And the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of it, was God's willingness to send us the missing link that makes us once again a part of God's family. You take that wonderful thought home with you this morning as you prepare to celebrate the coming of the missing link. Take it home and consider it, and just thank God that you're part of his family, and the birth of Christ is what you're celebrating, and not just the 25th, which is a man's traditional day. We celebrate, you and I should celebrate the birth of Christ every day, because it was through that birth and all that represented that you and I have been brought into the family of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. We do thank you for all the blessings that come from Christ. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that you have loved us eternally. What a wonderful thought it is to go into the week knowing that my God loved me before he even made me, before he made the world. He loved me enough that he would be willing to sacrifice the second member of the Godhead even, Lord, for a wretched creature like all of us here. And yet you were willing, and he was willing. What great love that is, Lord. Help us to share the love of Christmas, the hope of Christmas, and the joy of Christmas. Help us share the missing link everybody's looking for, and it's right in front of them. Help us to do that, Lord, for your glory, their good, and always as an honor to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.